We greet you also in the name of Jesus. Your word this morning, Brother Patrick, was like a word fitly spoken of apples of gold and pictures of silver. Thank you. Many times, not always, many times, it's those simple things we think we all know so well and we all should be doing and all those kind of things that are almost have the biggest impact. They do on me sometimes. Let's stand together and have a prayer before we get started. Lord, we are, I don't know what adjective to use to describe how grateful we are for your love for us. And for the fact that though we don't always do everything just right, sometimes we have in the past run away. And then when came back, you were there. With open arms. We're thankful for that. And now we pray also, Father, that you would give us each one grace to hear what you may have to say to us this morning. I pray for grace to speak. I pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. That Holy Spirit would rest upon, dwell in all of us. Not that we doubt that you will, but it's just that we need it so much. And we thank you, Father, for giving us these promises. You'll never leave us. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us to this point in time today. No, it's not a long time in your economy. Not even a real long time in life. But it's time has passed and you've brought us to this point. And we thank you for it. And Lord, that we might exalt the name of Jesus Christ in the future. Maybe even better than we have in the past. Maybe even more clear than we have in the past. But we would do it because you are worthy. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name again, amen. Okay, you may be seated. Well, some of you, if you have a really, really good memory, will remember what I'm going to say today. You have to have a memory that's about 20 years old. I was thinking about sharing something today, and I got to thinking about 20 years ago today, I preached also, and I preached to a brand new church. We were excited. We were looking forward to the future. It was just exciting. We were excited. And maybe a little immaturely excited, maybe. Me, maybe. Maybe not any of you, but. But I had to think as I thought over the last 20 years, this question came to my mind. What has the Lord wrought among us? And I know that less than half of you here were there that 20 years ago. But we still have walked those 20 years, and here we are today. And we all claim each other. We're all part of Living Hope. We weren't all there 20 years ago, but we're all here now, and so we're all in this together. What have we done for the kingdom? What will we have to present before the Lord someday that He will be able to say to us, as a church, well done. Well done. Now, I don't know if it's going to be that way. I kind of doubt it. But if He would gather us all Living Hope people together, and what would He say? What would we have to give to Him? What would we have to say? Well, Lord, this is what we did. Or He already knows all that. But that He would be able to say, well done. Well, that's our desire. That's what we'd like to talk about this morning a little bit. How have we subjected ourselves to Him for His glory? And what can we do now to be better bearers of His glory? Where should we set the bar? Can we set it too high? Can we set it too low? I'm not even going to attempt to say how well we have attained to the bar, to our goals, some of our dreams. We set it here, wherever we set it. I don't know if I'm going to attempt to explain if we've made it or not. We've made it over the bar or not. Neither am I going to claim that what I have to say is all there is to being a church together. I am going to reiterate to you. In our first brothers meeting, maybe it wasn't our first one, an early brothers meeting before the first Sunday, we had a brothers meeting, and we asked the brothers, what do we want to do? Who do we want to be? What standard do we want to set? And I have a list there here of things that you said. Some of you said. We talked about. And like I said already, I'm not sure I can say that we did accomplish it. And maybe we're still in the process of accomplishing it. And I think that's true too. But 20 years ago, I sat beside Joshua and Jonathan this morning and I asked him, so what year did you come to Living Hope? And he said, I don't know, I wasn't born yet. 20 years. I think he did have an idea though, maybe. And you know, we made some mistakes in the past. I did. Probably we as a church did somewhat too, but I know I did. But that doesn't prevent us from getting a fresh vision and going on. So somehow if I could, I hope I'm halfway interesting to you. But because to me, it's just reflecting back. And for some of us, it's reflecting back. And we can see all the years we've been through and all the things and just our visions, our goals. And it's maybe a little bit reminiscent this morning. But we're full of zeal and ambition. We're excited. We didn't have any thought of not making it as a church. We were a church and we was going to go. You know, it's not, it's pretty easy sometimes to wonder, you know, a little church starts up here or there, whatever, and you wonder if they're going to make it. Well, we didn't have any thought not to. We were going to make it. We had a dream. We had a goal. We had a vision. And we were going to go forward. We were, I don't know, brothers and sisters, we were excited. It's kind of hard to explain, and maybe I don't need to. And like I said, we're probably a little wiser now than we were then. Or I am. And I'll leave it at that. But I want to talk a little bit about a vision. What our vision was. You know, David had a vision. David, he wanted to extend the kingdom. He wanted to fulfill all his responsibilities as king as good as he could. And he had a vision, and he was going to do it, and he did it. He did it without reserve. He went fighting for it. He was willing to give his life for it. He was willing to go out there, and he went out with courage and passion. He went out there and without fear. And he went out there and he faced the giant. He faced Goliath. Everybody else was afraid, but not David. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I forget how he said that. In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He was a giant. And David said, I'll go. I'd like to infuse us with that kind of a passion, that kind of a zeal, that kind of a yes. I'll go. Esther, she came before the king, the great king. And no one came into the court without being invited. And if they did, they were at risk of death. But she had a vision. She had a purpose. She had a plan. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going. That's what we want to do. We're going. We're going to make it. We're going to, both individually and as a church, we're going to go forward. And we're going to conquer. We're going to go out there and face the battle. We're going to face the giant. And we're going to go. That's what Esther did. She had a vision. Paul had a vision. He said concerning zeal and all those things that he said he did. He said, but what things of those kinds of things were gained to me were lost for Christ. He had a vision. He was going to let all those things go. And he had only one aim in mind. He wanted to exalt and glorify his Lord. That was his purpose. And he did it. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, that I might be found in him, and so on, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's us. If by any means, we're going forward. We're going to make it. We're going to go on. Remember what Brother Patrick said this morning. God loves you. And if you find yourself going the wrong way sometime, you can turn around and there he'll be running towards you. Hallelujah. You know, they're all gone. Now it's our turn. David's gone. Esther's gone. Paul's gone. All the apostles are gone. They paid the price. The martyrs of the Reformation are gone. Denny and Mose are gone. But all those men had a vision. They had something they were going for. And I'd like to somehow encourage us and inspire us. We have a vision. We know where we're going. And we're going to go. And there's not any question whether we'll make it or not. The Lord of hosts is on our side. We will make it. It's our turn today. So, at some point before we had this first meeting here 20 years, or not here, but over at the Terry Hill Mennonite High School, in the gym there. That was our first, I think that was our first meeting. Before that, we had a meeting. I know we had one in the charity basement one time, and I'm not sure where else, but but we had a brothers' meeting, and I asked the brothers, so, what do we want to, what's our goal? What's our vision? What do we want to do? What do we want to accomplish? And this is what they said. The first thing that I had that they said was, and this is a bit generic, but let me explain it a little bit. They wanted to exalt Jesus Christ. That's what we wanted to do. We weren't out here trying to make a name for ourselves. We wanted the name of Jesus to be lifted up. That was our focus, our goal, our aim. And we want to make him the reason for everything we did. We want to make him our way of life, public and private. Him, our way of life. We want to put ourselves after him. If there's any question about who gets the glory, he does. It's not me. It's not us. It's him. That's what we wanted to do as a church. That was the answers that they gave me. Number two, they said, we want to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. The joy of the Lord as our strength. Because he is our strength. All the time. All the time. And probably I'm not preaching to the choir on that one. Probably we would all say, yeah, sometimes I'm not joying in the joy that God gave me that I can joy in. Sometimes I may be a little discouraged. I may be a little bit whatever. But I know I have room to grow in this. And I think that was our goal, though. We wanted to have another word for joy, I think, is enthusiasm and gladness and radiance of spirit. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let that be our strength. That's what we want to do. It's what we wanted to do back then. We still want to do it today. We want to have the joy of the Lord. Let that be our strength. Not in our own selves, not in our own ways, not in what we think we can do, but in him. The joy of the Lord is our strength all the time. Number three, we said we wanted to have a fervent love for Jesus. These are the answers that came as we asked the questions. I'll do whatever you ask, Lord. I'll do whatever you ask. I love you, and I'll give my life for you. Whatever you ask, I will do. We wanted to have a fervent love for Jesus, a fervent one. No turning back, no shying away, no defection, absolutely faithful. We wanted to walk through whatever we needed to walk through with the full understanding that God would not forsake us in those times. We can enjoy that fact. I wrote down here, joy is the proof of acceptation of all situations that we can't change. And joying in it. You know, there's lots of things about life we can change. There's some things about life we cannot change. And whatever that is, to walk through that and to have that, accept that with joy. Joy is the proof of acceptation of all situations that we can't change. And you know, there's nothing so contagious. There's nothing so engaging. I'm not sure contagious is the right word, I guess. As a person who's full of joy. Enthusiastic. They are just something inspiring about those kinds of people. That's what we want to be. We still want to be that way. Number four, they said they want to be a place where God dwells. That they could walk into here or being in the midst of the church. They don't have to be in a building, but be in the midst of us and know that God was there. We wanted to know that God was there. In the hearts of men and women. A place where God dwells of rest and holiness. A place of strength and faith. Absolutely faithful. A fervent love that will not let me go anywhere else. Because I love Jesus. I backed up there a little bit. Sorry about that. Fervent love for Jesus. I'll do whatever you ask of me, Lord. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. A place where God dwells in the hearts of men and women. He's not ashamed to call us his sons and daughters. It is a place of rest and holiness. That's four things we said already. Number five, we said we wanted to be evangelistic. We wanted to accept the calling of God to go and teach the gospel. He came here, and he didn't stay forever. He didn't stay these last 2,000 years. He gave it to his children, his people, to spread the news, the good news. That's what he did. Whether that's across the ocean, whether that's in your neighborhood, or whether that's in your home, he wanted us to be evangelistic. He wanted us to share the truth of Jesus, the truth of his love. Number six, we wanted to accept and use the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Paul named a few of them: prophecy, ministry, exhortation, leadership, mercy. Those spiritual gifts, we wanted to use them. And we wanted to give everybody a chance to use them. They had that gift. We wanted them to use them. And when we're still there, we want you to use your gift. You know, God doesn't give us something to keep necessarily in that respect. When he gave us a gift, he wanted us to give it away. Love is a gift. He gave us love. We give love. I wrote down a scripture verse here. Let me look at that real quick. Romans chapter 12. Yeah, that's just where he was talking about all the gifts. He said, we're all members of one body, and we all have different gifts. Well, whatever they are, he said he wanted us to use those gifts. He giveth, he that doeth it. If you have different gifts, use them the way he wants you to use them. But we will have gifts, and we want this church to be full of people who have gifts and use those gifts. Number seven, accountable fellowship was one thing we wanted to have. We wanted to have accountable fellowship, which basically means that we are a group of people who are accountable one to another. We care about one another. We help one another. We submit ourselves to one another. We're accountable. Accountable fellowships. The next one that we had was somewhat similar to that one. In a way, we called it responsible brotherhood. In other words, we trust us to be responsible. I trust you to be responsible. You trust me to be responsible. We trust each other. We can depend on one another. We share our burdens, spiritual and physical, when we have needs. We're responsible. We're dependable. Maybe that'd be a good word to use too. We want to be dependable to each other. And number nine, we wanted to show love. These not necessarily in the order of importance necessarily, but that's what we talked about. We wanted to show love, that we did love one another, not just tolerate, normal people, but we wanted to show love, that we really cared about people. Helping one another when there's a need and expressing our feelings of love and care for each other. That's something that I think is good to do. That we tell each other we do love you and we care for you. And we, not just words, yes, words, but I'm in the way we act. That we act like we love one another. That's what we wanted to do. This is the vision for this new church 20 years ago. And it's still our vision today. And there could be other things too. I'm not claiming this is all comprehensive. Number 10, we want to be sensitive to each other's needs. We want to be aware of the feelings of others and treat them with love and consideration. Aware of others' needs and sensitive to that. If there's a need, we sense it and we're willing to step out and help them and hold them up and bless them. And it reminds me too of that of this is a show of love, and I'll never forget it. To me, and I'm sure it happened other places too, but we were going through some struggle times, some hard times as Living Hope. We had some of those times we went through. And I don't remember exactly how it happened, all of it. But a brother came up to me and said, yeah, I think this way it was. You can come to me later and tell me how it was if I don't tell it right. That, I don't know if he asked me or I told him. He asked, and I'm going to say it this way. He asked me, what can I do for you? And I said, just hold up my arms. No, I didn't know what it was. He offered to hold up my arms. That showed love. Thank you, brother, for that. 11, one thing we talked about was being hospitable. Being hospitable to visitors, of course, but also to each other. In other words, we wanted everybody to feel like, visitors that came, of course, but also all of us to feel like that we were willing to help. I don't know, some of these things overlap a bit, but we were hospitable. We didn't purposely walk around somebody, but we were hospitable. We were able to enjoy one another. Number 12, we ask for a fresh, or somebody said this, a fresh Sunday morning atmosphere. That's what I wrote down. That's what I wrote down 20 years ago. That's what I said 20 years ago. I didn't have my notes. I listened to my message. A fresh Sunday morning atmosphere. In other words, we come in here on Sunday morning and it's a joy to be here. Everybody's glad to be here. We are looking forward to worshiping together. It's not old and stale. It's fresh. That's what we wanted. We wanted to be here at a church on time. That's one way to make the fresh, instead of just kind of rushing, bustling in at the very last minute. It's kind of like, do you have time to be here or not? But we wanted to have a fresh Sunday morning atmosphere. Number 13, somebody said this. He said that we don't want any lame among us. Now, that needs to be interpreted a bit because that has been misinterpreted in the past. But what we meant was we wanted to, if we had somebody that was lame, we wanted to help them get up and be able to walk. Not to say we don't want you if you don't walk like we do. Not that at all. We wanted, when we said we wanted to have no lame among us, we wanted to help that lame one, whoever it is, the weak, whatever it is, to walk. That was our goal. I don't know if we've done it all real good or not, but this is a vision we had. We made these commitments 20 years ago. Number 14, somebody said, we want to be known for our priorities, not just our form. We want to be known for our priorities, not just our form. In other words, we operate by principle first, and the form will follow in its place, its proper place. Now, there's a place for form. I'm not saying there isn't. But we definitely want to be known. We walk, we live. A church goes by principle. In other words, we don't decide with every instance that comes along whether this is right or that's right. We have a principle we walk by, a rule, if you want to call it that, a standard, whatever, that we walk by that says, no, this is how we walk. We want to be known as walking by principle, not just by form. We don't make judgments on preference alone. But we have a reason for what we do. When we agree together, we work together. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to have a church that when we agree together, we work together. Number 15, discipleship. Somebody said we wanted to have discipleship, and we do. We want to have discipleship, not only to make disciples for Christ, whether it be with our own children, whether it be outside of that. We want to be a church that was able to teach and to share and to live and to show how to be a disciple of Christ. That's what we wanted to be. Discipleship is also being purposeful in our activities. In other words, when we're a disciple of Christ, we have some standards to go by what Christ expects of us. And we wanted to, and still want to as we make disciples, and as we are disciples, that we have a purpose in what we do. We're purposeful in our activities at home, and then moving out to others as God gives us opportunity. Helping, discipling others. Number 16, our homes to be a place of peace and rest. We went to church that had our homes full of peace. They were just peaceful. It was restful. We want our homes to, because you know, what is in our homes is always reflected in the church. What is in our homes is always reflected on who we are. Now we can cover things up for a while sometimes, but eventually it comes out, and we wanted our home to be a place of peace and rest, in order. Father in his proper place, mom in her place, children in their proper place, that we could just, and I know maybe it's a little idealistic, but at the same time, that's what we wanted to go for. So that was our goal. That's where we're headed. We're still headed there. Number 17, youth. We wanted a youth with a testimony of spirituality. We want to have youth with a testimony that it was clear that their heart was single to God, unmoved, distracted by the things of the world, those kind of things. But they had a clear heart for God. We wanted to have youth that were serious, submissive, supportive. Their hearts to be more for God than games. A youth with a testimony of spirituality. Youth that are on the pathway to being a missionary as fast as they can. What I mean by that is we pass through, or maybe we're always in it too, to a certain extent. We pass through the mission field into being a missionary. We're going to have youth that are able to be missionaries. And I'll tell you a little what I mean by that. What I mean is we want to have youth that are able to withstand the peer pressures of whatever that is. Maybe peer is not the right word. Pressures of the world, of fads, fashions. We want to be youth free of that. We want to have youth that are, they know where they're going, and they have a clear testimony of spirituality. We want to look at youth and know I can trust them. We can trust them. The next one was very similar to that. It is youth with fire. Youth with fire. Youth with a clear zeal and passion in their hearts that they want to walk with God. And these temptations and these things that are out there, they're beyond that. They want to go, they're on fire for God. They're clearly seeking God's ways. They're clearly different than the world out there. They're clearly pressing forward in the walk with God. They're clearly laying up treasures in heaven, and it's obvious. That's what we wanted. We still want. Number 19. I don't know if this maybe is should have been first. I don't know. It was three words. Prayer, prayer, prayer. We want to be a church that prays. Together, sure, but also singly. That our life and our is built around communion with God. What God says, what God wants. Sure, it's written here. Amen. You don't have to pray to get this. You have to read it, though. But I'm talking about, you know, that there's something different. There's something different about reading the Word and kneeling down and praying. I know you. That's an obvious statement. But there is something different. You can make a habit of this. You can make a habit of saying your prayers too. But it takes this is something you read and it's there for you to read. Prayer is something where you pour out your heart to God and it comes from within. This comes from without in. Prayer goes from without, within out to God. And my experience is that's a little more difficult. But I think that's one thing we want to do as a church. We want to know that we're praying. It's a mighty tool. Jesus even said so much that it moves mountains. It moves mountains. That's what prayer does. I don't know if Brother Dean said this. He talked also. He had a message too at the first meeting we had. I don't know if he said it there. I don't think so. I think he said it. We met every Monday morning, I think it was, for prayer. And he made a comment one time. He said, we want only two kinds of prayer here, he said. Only two kinds of prayer. Two kinds. And you probably know what it is. He said, we want fervent prayer. And we want effectual prayer. That's the kind of prayers we wanted. Fervent. Passionate intensity. Now I realize we're not all just always going to just... Sometimes prayer is a little harder to come than others. I know that. But still, what we're moving towards, the bar we're trying to get over, the standard we set is a fervent, passionate, intense prayer. I realize, too, sometimes your mama, there's just not time to spend very much time in prayer. I understand that. And God does, too. And some of you men, it's can be somewhat the same way too. But when you get an opportunity, when you can, make it priority. Effectual was the second one. Fervent, passionate, intense, passionate intensity. The second was effectual, which means it is successful in producing a desired or intended result. It's effective. Effectual is successful in producing an intended result. Those kind of prayers. I told you that we didn't have a question whether or not Living Hope would be here 20 years from now. We never even didn't think that far ahead as far as I knew, but we never questioned. And you know, I've seen a lot of little churches get started, and one of the common prayers is when they're looking about whether they think they can make it or not, one of the common prayers is, does God want a church here? That's not an uncommon prayer. I've heard that lots of times. Does God want a church here? I'd like to change that question and ask this question. Is God building a church here? And I say that for a couple reasons. There are reasons that God does not build a church someplace. When a few people start out and they're trying to get together and it just doesn't work. And there's a couple reasons. Probably one main one. And that one main reason is the lack of a unified vision. The lack of a unified vision. They have not agreed together on the direction they want to go. Sometimes it has happened, and it wasn't that way with us. Everybody that was in this new church was there because they didn't want to be here. That doesn't work. What has to happen is we need a unified vision. And that's still true with us today. We need a unified vision in order to work. You know, and just a crude example. There's 10 men on a basketball court when they're playing basketball. And five of them are trying to get the ball in that end, through the hoop in that end. Five of them trying to get the ball in that end. These five have to be unified to get the ball in that rim or in that hoop more times than that one does. It's a simple, crude illustration, but it's still true. We have to have the same vision. We're going to try to get that ball in that hoop enough times that we win the game. And we know who the adversary is, but we're just simply trying to win the game. You need to have a unified vision. A lack of it, many times, is the reason that a church doesn't make it. And there can be other reasons too, but that's certainly one of them. And the second reason is, and this kind of goes along with that, it's a lack of love, a lack of submission to the direction and the agreement of the brothers as we make our agreements together and agree on a direction we go. Little recap, very little, very small. But I'll just say this, there are four things needed for the growth and building of a church, at least four, there may be more. But I'm going to give you these four. And one is unity, an agreement that we are willing to work together to reach a goal. That's unity. Vision, number two, an agreement of what they want to accomplish. What we want, we're agreeing, we're going to work together to reach a goal. We're also agreeing what the goal is, what we want to accomplish. And number three is love. There has to be a care and concern for each other in this, for this little church to make it, any little church. And number five is we need to be willing to honor each other. That's a little similar to number three, but number four, respect. Willing to honor each other. Willing to consider and be considerate and esteem others better than ourselves. That's at least four things, and I've done this so fast, there'd be a lot more could be said about all that. I want to tell you a little story. John Fletcher, he was chosen by John Wesley to be John Wesley's successor. John Wesley said, I need a man who I can trust, who I feel like is where I am, and I want him to be my successor after I die. Well, that wasn't God's plan. John Fletcher actually died before John Wesley did. But this is what John Wesley said of John Fletcher. He said, and this is just a man that didn't, anyway, many exemplary men have I known, holy in heart and life. And I have a point here. I'm not trying to lift up John Fletcher as the ultimate. I have a point. Many exemplary men have I known, holy in heart and life. Within fourscore years, but one equal to him have I not known. One so inwardly and outwardly devoted to God, so unblameable a character in every respect I have not found in Europe or America, and I scarce expect to find another this side of eternity. John Fletcher was given an opportunity during his lifetime to move from a rather poor area and lots of needs to a little wealthier area, and there weren't as many people and in some ways not as many needs. He turned down the opportunity. This is what he said. He wanted to stay where the poor were. He said, the reason I'm turning this down is because this other place is too much pay and too little work. Too much pay and too little work. I'd like to be like that too. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to just sit back and take it easy. I want a church that has that same attitude. We're not giving up. We're not going to sit back and take it easy. We're pressing through. If we have a low in our life or things are going well, we press forward that much more. We don't have the restrictions that we maybe have in some parts of our life, sometimes of our life, so we press forward that much more. We keep seeking after God, and we keep turning away from the world, and we keep denying the flesh and dealing with the flesh, and we keep pursuing after God and His righteousness. In Proverbs it says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. We've all been given gifts. I'm going to end with this. We want a church that everyone in here recognizes they have value, they have a gift. They have something they can give to the body. They have something they can give to God. They can have something to help others, whatever their gift is. Everyone in here has a gift. And a man's gifts makes room for him and bringeth him before great men. So Solomon said, just simply means a man's gifts will, if he exercises those gifts, he'll do a good work. We want a church. I don't know if we'll live another 20 years or not. We're going here another 20 years down the road that we can say, yes, we're still doing these things. And there may be lots of other things, and maybe it could be said in a little different way, but this is the things that we talked about 20 years ago. And I'd like to keep that vision alive. We are committed. We are willing to not let the maze of mediocrity confuse you as to your place in the church. The maze of mediocrity. Just kind of mediocre. You get lost in that. There is something for you to do. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. I may be taking a little bit out of context, but I want us to get a hold of this. The violent take it. The ones who are willing to expend a lot of energy, the ones who are willing to give their life, their desires, give their heart, willing to expend their energy, the ones who are willing to do that, they'll take the kingdom of heaven. They'll take it. We can't take it by force, by passively going into battle. We will be overcome by the devil or lulled to sleep by mediocrity. So I just say this, Living Hope, brothers, sisters, fight on. We're on a battlefield. And there's an enemy that's out to destroy us. We're on the battlefield. And we have a king. And we have a captain who will never let us down. We can depend on him. And we're going to go forward. Let's stand again for prayer. Lord, I pray for your correction, if there needs to be any correction. I pray for your direction, if we need directed. I pray, Father, for your blessing, as much as you can bless. Not just because it's us, but because you're saying amen. You're doing it right. I'm behind you. I pray, Father, that if you tarry another 20 years, and I don't know, nobody knows, only you know, that we might be able to hear those words as a church and as individuals. Well done. Well done. I pray for that, Lord. Give us grace. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding of what we need. Give us, Father, that passion, that zeal, that fervency. We pray for that, Lord. I know that we have a work to do and all that. But we're praying, Father, that you would just help us to do that. To see where we might be a little lax and strengthen ourselves. Where we might be going a little different direction or wrong direction. Or maybe a little out of skew a little bit. We could correct ourselves and come back on the path, the straight and the narrow path. I pray, Father, for that, for every one of us. That every one of us here, everyone, might find their way to that beautiful place of again, hearing you say, well done. Father, we want to please you. We want to satisfy you. We want to bless you. We want to exalt you. We want to. Help us. Father, we can't close our prayer without saying thank you, though, too, for all the things you've brought us through. Sure, they've been, and like I said earlier, you know this, if I could do things again, I'd do things, some things a little different. And I'm sorry about that. And I suppose there'd be things people here could say the same thing, I don't know. So, Father, we ask for your forgiveness in that, too. We already have, and we know you did, and you will. But it's still, Father, it's just a... Help us, Lord, help us. We want to be victorious. We want to be overcomers. All of us. Not one be lame and be turned out of the way. Not one. May your kingdom come and your will be done in earth, in us, like it is in heaven. For your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Brother Mark talked a bit about the enthusiasm and excitement that was felt in those early days. It reminded me of a bit of marriage. You see a young couple, and there's all kinds of excitement and enthusiasm and goals and visions, and you know, the sky's the limit. They love each other. They are convinced that things couldn't be better. And we all love to see it. We enjoy seeing couples like that. But those of us who've been married for several years would probably, for most of us, would say that the love has only grown deeper. Maturity came with time. The excitement maybe isn't quite as high, but the love is deeper. We love each other more than we did. We thought there was no way you could love someone more when we first got married, maybe. And yet, you can. We know that. I'm just saying that to say, to liken it, I believe some of that is the case with us here. Maybe the excitement isn't quite as high. The enthusiasm isn't quite as strong. And I'm not opposing excitement and enthusiasm. But the maturity is higher. We have grown to know each other better. We love each other more. I don't know. I wasn't here 20 years ago, so I don't know how much you loved each other back then. But just to say that things do change. Our marriage, you know, our partner, things change. The love grows in width, maybe, and in depth, and the understanding and all of those things, they're different. But let's not let those things, let's not have the, I think it's great to have nostalgia about, you know, what happened in the past and those type of things. But like Brother Mark pointed out, we're going forward. Let's use our past as a means and way to view what we can do for the future. As we look at the past, let's learn from it. Let's learn how we can use those stepping stones we've had in the past to be stepping stones higher for the future. That's my desire. And thank you, each of you, that make Living Hope what it is. I appreciate each member and what you contribute. And may we all together be part of that living hope, that those lively stones, as the scripture speaks, that build up a spiritual house, the house of our Lord. I'd like to open it up to any of you. If you have something to share, raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. Okay. Anyone that wants to give some of their remembering, I'm sure there were some of you sitting here thinking about that first Sunday, maybe some of you that first brothers meeting. If there's anyone that has something they would like to share as a remembrance, feel free to raise your hand for that. Brother Lee.
Want to bless the Lord that he is a faithful father. As I reflect back over the last 20 years, we've had our joys and we've had our sorrows. But I praise God that we, and I say we as Living Hope, are here today. As I considered this mark, my wife and I were married for less than a year, expecting our first child. And as Brother Mark was preaching this morning, as he went down over the list of things that we talked about in that, those first brothers' meetings, I also recognized that there were some songs that we used to sing that we seldomly sing today. And that's not neither here nor there necessarily. And I don't know that I have a list here this morning of some of the songs that we sang regularly that meant a lot for us, to us. But I'm just going to give titles of a few of them that I found. One was, and basically these are out of the Christian hymnary, 497, Christ's Everlasting Gospel. 406, Faith of Our Fathers. 398, Jesus, Jesus, Life the Fountain. 322, How Firm a Foundation. 314, Thou Wilt Keep Him in Perfect Peace. 105, Eternal Father. And I didn't have enough of fingers to hold all the slots open, but 777, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And then the last one, Rise Up, O Men of God. It did me well to reflect on these songs and recognizing that for some of those songs, they had depth, they had meaning, they ministered to our hearts where we were as a young church at the time. But I bless the Lord that He is still here today, wanting, desiring to move us forward.
Amen. Stanley.
Thinking of what all has changed in my life the last 20 years, remember where I was to some degree back then, I like to think of the opening was mentioned of the prodigal son. I don't know how many of you tuned into it. When the prodigal son decided to go back to his father, he had his idea of how to fix the problem. The first thing was to admit he was wrong. And then he had his agenda for how to go forward from here. All the father needed was to have the son admit he was wrong. Repentance. In my life, I've had my idea of how things would be. And for me to grow, some of my ideas needed to be adjusted. Maybe we can all find ourselves at that place sometimes.
Go ahead, Brother Wayne. Oh, Brother Robert.
If there was a song that was on my heart to sing, would be The Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I was reflecting a little bit. And as we sang each song then, the mighty power of those words that we sang back to God, there is so the doctrinal songs. It was so blessed. I was so blessed this morning, the songs that were chosen. Just to think of churches that would have those drums beating and little rhymey songs and everybody emotions and they're just making noise. And brethren, what we have in these songs, they minister to us. They're prayers. They're an expression of our hearts and under our God. Like worship, that's what we're brought into. The fellowship of worship this morning. So, yes, I rejoice in the songs that we sing.
This is a little remembering how things used to be, perhaps more along the physical line. It's amazing how quickly people can say, this is the way things always were. This is how we always used to do it. And so, when we started, there was no camp out. when we're meeting at Terry Hill High School, there is no AC. Every Sunday that we were there, we had to set up chairs and the sound system and tables and take it all back down again. And so I think we have a lot to be thankful for that I'm guessing over half of us have no remembrance of how it used to be.
Yes, Brother Duff.
I found it fascinating to have a whole list of goals. When we came here, 5 years ago, I guess, I didn't know many people. We followed, I guess, in a way, a young man who made his way here years ago from the Southwest. And, probably last weekend, you might have noticed that there were some people from Virginia who came up. 24 years in the congregation there, we formed some very strong bonds. And again, there was no list or anything that I got to look at, no truth in labeling that I could, you know, call them to. But I would say that if I had been looking around and come up to, okay, here's the label for Living Hope, and here's the 19 or 20 different things that they say are the important things, this is the aroma of the church, I would have said, okay, that's attractive. I've found it to be true. It's not just empty goals on paper, but it's hearts that are tuned to that, and it's been lovely. It's just a blessing to be here.
Thank you, brother. Brother Amos.
I'd like to bless the congregation this morning for one specific thing. The Brotherhood said they want no lame among us. Well, I was one of those. So when we came to Living Hope, I was struggling with things like Reformed theology. I wasn't sure the difference between a just war and an unjust war, and being taught by some other men meeting for book studies that there's a difference. Christians can partake if the war is a just war. And many other things. I didn't have an earthly father. My dad had passed away when I was 21. And I had a wife. I had children. I was disfellowshipped from the church that we were part of. And I'm here to say this morning that 20 years later, four of our children have married godly spouses. The rest of the children that are still at home are being affected by the fact that we're part of a church. And in many ways, my wife and I owe you all a lot of this credit. And so we would just want to say thank you. I hope the next 20 years we can continue to be a church. We can go on from here and we can hold up the truth in God's word and disciple one another. Thank you.
Sister Ann.
Brother Wayne shared some things that are different. I want to share something that's still the same, hasn't changed. And that is as Mark shared, the brother who came to him and said, I'll be your Aaron. I'll hold up your arms. And he has over these years, and he still is here and still does. That's been consistent. I was just sitting here reminiscing over, I think it was our 40th birthdays that we got 40 roses. Coolers of food because people said, you poor things, you don't get baby meals, so here's food for your freezer for a while. And that was a fun thing. Sisters' meetings where I was going to speak, and the cards and the notes and the calls of encouragement. Yeah, there's just lots of memories of the way the congregation has held up our arms and each other's arms, too, and it hasn't changed. Just last night, one of our sisters who was there then and still here said, how are you? How's your plate? Do you feel overwhelmed? Are you doing okay? So I would say in 20 years from now, let's still be known as holding up truth and holding up each other's arms.
Amen.
Thank you, church.
Brother Mark.
Thank you, sweetheart. I wanted to say that too. I hope I can say it without crying. Thank you, church. All of you. It's easy to remember back in the beginning days and when there's just a few families still here. But you have maintained, and I just bless you for that. You have maintained, and we are a safe place to be. And I just want to thank you for what you've done for that too.
Amen. Anyone else? All right, well, yes, I would echo those same things that while we were here, like I said earlier, 15 years of those, I for a long time, I just felt like, you know, I don't know, I'm new here. And it's hardly that way anymore, but it's still, it doesn't feel like I'm, part of the original, and I'm not. But somehow it seems like Living Hope must have been going a lot longer than 20 years, you know, considering that I've been in here only 15. Those are just how it feels to me. But I do very much, like I said earlier, I appreciate each one of you and what you contribute. And I want to encourage you to exercise the gift that is in you, as Paul told Timothy. Each one of you has gifts. Exercise them. When we exercise, we gain. Not only do you gain, but the church gains. And so let's do that together. Exercise the gifts that God has given us, and we will become stronger, we'll become more cohesive, and we will, the gates of hell will not prevail. That's our goal.